Welcome to this Christmas Eve. Good to be together with you all. What an incredible evening to worship God. Let's just give God a big round of applause. He's worthy of all of it. It's always awesome to see the incredible talent God puts in the lives of his people and all who serve, that we can come together and just worship him. We don't take any of that for granted. God just moves powerfully through his people. You know, we come around in these times of tradition, and Christmas Eve services is one of those. And many of you, I'm sure, already in the midst of some of these Christmas traditions. And you come in and you travel with family, or you come in and gather together, and you put up the trees and the decorations and all the things. And likewise, here at CDK, we have some similar traditions. And tonight's one of them, where we gather together and we sing the carols, remember the powerful move of God coming to earth. And we share together as we close out worship with the lighting of our candles and singing Silent Night. You know, those traditions are not just something that we do. It's a little bit of who we are, right? It's like the traditions you share in your home. They represent a little about who you are and what you mean and what you're about in the lives of your family. I know growing up, our family had a lot of Christmas traditions. And one of them is that on the Saturday after Thanksgiving was the day we put up our Christmas tree. So, you know, it's like we couldn't wait to get past Thanksgiving. It went up on that Saturday after, and then that whole month of December, we were adding to it on throughout the time. It was always one of those special times. It took a while for Marilyn to break that one for me, to say, let's let Thanksgiving breathe a little bit longer as we kind of went through, as some other traditions probably have faded in some of your households. Another one that we had is we always had Christmas Eve services growing up. Grew up in a pastoral family, and of course we went to Christmas Eve services, but they started at midnight. And I remember, you know, we'd come, they'd always have it, so right about midnight we were singing the last song, and we're ushering in Christmas Day and the birth of the Christ child. But because of that, we had usually a 6 o'clock nice dinner on Christmas Eve. Everybody's getting ready, and as kids, we got to open one present under the tree. We got to choose. Now, Santa Claus hadn't come yet, so we didn't get any of that stuff. But whatever's wrapped in the tree, we could pick one present, and we could open it. It was kind of part of our tradition. The next morning, we'd get up and get to share and decorate and enjoy the rest of Christmas Day. It was always an awesome time. Now, I know for you, there's many of those traditions going on, but also, like in our household, you've probably had some loss of traditions, haven't you? You know, families change and traditions change. Families merge and new traditions come in and old traditions go out. And new ways of celebrating and sharing together begin to rise up and bring in new value and new opportunities to discover something rich in the households that you didn't have before that become a part of what you do now. It's kind of like in this household of God when someone accepts the Lord Jesus in their life and all of a sudden now Jesus is central to how they live life, and now Jesus is also central to Christmas. It's not just another holiday. There's something in that tradition and in that experience with the family that changes, that makes everything different. Have you ever thought about what went on before Jesus was born? What was Christmas like then? Well, there wasn't, was there? There wasn't a Christmas, because if you think about the word Christmas, it means Christ Mass. And that Mass is looked at in two ways. Mass can be considered worship. It's Christ worship. Or Mass can also be considered the crowd that gathers around Christ. And that word Christmas began to emerge after the birth of Jesus. But there were many things going on this time of year throughout the world. The time of year to celebrate it around the winter solstice was very, very common. In fact, it's kind of interesting, give you a little bit of historical references. In Scandinavia, they would celebrate, the Norse would celebrate the Yule. And what the Yule was, it started just before the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. And what they longed for was the coming of the light. So they celebrated the Yule, and they'd go out, the fathers and sons would go out, and they'd bring home these massive logs, and they would light them on fire. And many times they would burn for 12 or more days, and they would say that the sparks that came off those Yule logs were evidence of the coming crop of cows and sheep and goats that they'd raise in the coming year. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Ever heard of the Yule log? There's where it comes from, that old Scandinavian tradition. Well, even in the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire, and many in the world in that time, had another tradition, and it was the worship of the Saturn god. It was Saturnalia festival. And the Saturn god, little g god, an idol, was considered to be the fertility god. And it was also considered the celebration of the nativity. Isn't that interesting? And it went on during that time because people celebrated the coming of the light and the soil being fertile for the crops to grow up the next year. You can imagine how central they were to the agriculture, to the sun, and to the light. So there were many traditions that were on this time long before Jesus. But many of us haven't heard of those, have we? The interesting thing is that as Jesus Christ and the spread of Christianity begin to be more dominant throughout the world, and people begin to see that it was Jesus Christ who came as the light, all of a sudden these other traditions didn't seem as important. They got displaced. There began to be something more valuable, something more significant than the worship of a Yule log or an idol god called Saturn. They begin to see that God came to earth through his son Jesus, and Christmas was far more than ancient traditions. It now became the settlement of who we were as a people. What does that begin to spread? Christianity began to spread in the 3rd and 4th and 5th century in throughout Egypt and in throughout Europe. The Christmas tradition began to grow and blossom and become more and more and more. But eventually, it's kind of interesting, that Christmas tradition became a big party. And all of a sudden, amidst of the Christmas tradition, with all the other things put on it, it no longer looked like Christmas. When the pilgrims came to America, anybody heard of the pilgrims? When the pilgrims came to America, they were very religious, and they looked at these traditions that had been going on, and actually they outlawed Christmas. And in Boston in the 1600s, it was against the law to celebrate Christmas. You'd be fined 5 shillings. Because it was looking more like Mardi Gras than it was Christmas. How easy that is to happen when Christmas becomes all the trappings of celebration, that all of a sudden we lose the very significance of what it is and what it begins to look like. It really wasn't till after the Revolutionary War that we even began to have an understanding of the Christmas tradition that all of us celebrate today. The giving of gifts. Peace, the gathering of family, Christ in the manger. It's relatively recent. And yet we still see a world moving in many ways further and further away from Christ. More and more and more traditions continue to pile on this little child in the manger so we can no longer see the evidence of the core value of what it was all about. But if we pause, like we are tonight, if we pause and put down for just a moment the eggnog and step away from the feast of the table, silence the cell phones, stop worrying about the cards you haven't sent yet, those people are still going to love you after Christmas, begin to peel away all the stuff, kind of like digging in a haystack for a needle, we will find something really special that no human being can create. We'll find not a tradition, not a custom, not a new idea, but something so out of the box that the world could not imagine it. A Savior, the Son of God, the Christ child, coming to earth. The gospel writer John says it like this in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. grace, something that we receive that we never deserve, truth, something we all long for. You know, we all crave the light, don't we? You know, it's been cloudy a lot of days. What do we long for? The sun to come out again. That's why so many of the ancient celebrations created things to celebrate around the light. But when Jesus came as the light of the world, it crystallized in the person of Jesus, and John captures it in his gospel. We know what it's like not to have the light. We know what it's like to have addictions and depressions and struggles when the darkness seems to come in. This has not been an easy year in our world, has it? Maybe it hasn't been easy for you either. Maybe some of you've come tonight and Christmas, you feel a little out of breath for what this year has brought you. Everywhere we turn, there seems to be trouble. There seems to be concern. There seems to be anxiety. Even those in my own circle, in my own family, there's dementia. There's cancer. There's ALS. And we watch loved ones deteriorate. Some families are really struggling over the rise in inflation. Others are struggling with interest rates going up. Huge gas prices in 2022 sucked a lot of extra resource from a lot of people. Supply chain issues affected most every business. We've watched the atrocities between Ukraine and Russia in the pictures that brought tears in our eyes and sadness in our heart. We watch record numbers of people crowding at our southern borders, knowing there are no easy answers. The human dilemma rises. And this is just our country. I just got back from our mission point in Burundi, Africa. They still have no fuel. None. And getting something to eat, you might be lucky to have that every couple days. The human dilemma rises in the midst of a world that you and I live in very real ways today. On this earth, there's trouble. There always has, and perhaps there always will be. We humans are a mess. We have the propensity for ourselves and selfishness and sin that brings much of this on. But that's the exact reason why. So if you ever want to wonder why Jesus came, you're looking at it around the world. He came to leave the perfection of heaven to walk among us in this imperfect, broken world, to remind us there is still light and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus came to shed light on something greater and something bigger, something more powerful in the midst of the things you and I deal with every single day and we walk people through in the midst of our lives. And no traditions that we have, no idol worships that used to be, will ever fix the problem. They might mask it like some of our traditions. They might cover up the struggle for a moment. If you put enough fluff on it, we can pretend it'll go away, but it never does it? It just rises again. But the Bible says there's a way, and there's a truth, and there's a life. John writes again in chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Listen to this, my friends. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Do you believe that, church? That is a promise. Hear it. Receive it. Whoever walks in me will never what? Walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That means that when Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, born in a manger, lived, died, resurrected, rises to the heavenly host, brings forth his Holy Spirit to live among us. When Jesus reigns in your heart, there is never darkness. No matter what we see, there is an answer and there is a direction. That's the promise. In the midst of all of our stuff, no matter what, there's a way through it, there's a hope beyond it, and there's a strength to endure it. Because God's on our side. He will lead us on this earth, and he will perfect us in heaven to come. David writes in the Psalms, Psalm 27, and I love this passage. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" That was even before Jesus. But David understood his God, the same one we came to know through Jesus Christ. And he knew that if he could cling to him, no matter what came in the midst of life, he had a strength. There was a stronghold, which means Jesus holds you in the darkness of our world. 2,000 years ago, as we heard in the story, God pushed through all the traditions of this day. He parted the sky, and he opened the heavens, and he lined them with the heavenly armies, and he lit up the sky, and he made an announcement. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Talking about parting the traditions. And not only did he part the traditions of the day, he pointed to the location, and he goes on to say, "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Tonight, we're reminded of what's buried sometimes beneath all the other stuff. The truth. The light of the world has come. And this Christmas, when everything else is packed up, when the tree's sitting on the curb or up in the attic, and all the lights are down, the food is eaten or put away, friends and family have gone home, the beds have been made, and the trouble begins to rise. Jesus is still in the house, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. He's saying, "Let me in. For in me, you do not walk in darkness." Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather here tonight in your presence. You alone are the one we worship. You alone are the one who makes this season what it is and our lives to be eternal with you. You alone are our stronghold and our strength. You alone shed light through the darkness and understanding in the anxious times. Father, we thank you that you have come to show us the way. May you hold us in your arms when we cannot stand by ourselves. Will you illumine our hearts when we're in the depth of despair? And may you bring a joy and gladness in our being as we reflect on your goodness. Father, I pray over everyone in this room tonight that you will knock on the door of hearts, that your Holy Spirit is already tendering them to have you come in and be at home, to literally eat with us, to know us, and for us to know you. that wherever we go from this night, you are our leader and our Lord in our way. Father, we thank you for your love and your faithfulness. We celebrate you and you alone. In Jesus, we pray.